Hello, everyone. I'm Josh Oakes with SmartSocial.com, and today we're recording a video, which is also on our podcast, no matter where you're watching or listening to us all over the world. I have a really cool guest with us today, but before we get started with our awesome guest who's live with us in the LA area, I want to talk to you about social media. You see, a week and a half ago, I announced in 2% of a dramatic way, hey, I'm going to delete my Instagram and Facebook from my phone this week. And on Monday, I announced it. On Tuesday, I announced it. And Wednesday, I deleted it. And I ran from it. Now, while I was doing that, I invited people. I said, who wants to join me? And a couple people joined in. Houston was the first, and he's on with us live today. We're going to ask Houston Bradley, who's lives in Santa Monica, where I used to live a couple months ago. And we have some mutual friends, and we've met up in person, meeting up in a mutual community that we're in. Houston said, I'm going to take that challenge. I think Houston even got his roommate to do it as well. And out of the woodwork, he just took this positive challenge. And I'm excited today. We're going to talk about my favorite thing, which is comparison, and how very, very bad it is. I want to welcome you, Houston Bradley. Thank you so much for joining us here today. You're live at Equinox right now. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Stepped in here this morning, got a little precision running course in, and you know, now I'm just hanging out at the gym talking to you. Couldn't be better.
Dude, that's awesome. Now, you work at UTA, United Talent Agency, sweet, kind of in the marketing department, helping out some of the heads of marketing, which is awesome. I'm really thankful that you took the step up. You're vulnerable. I found a lot about myself through this process, being vulnerable. Okay, so you deleted the apps with me. It doesn't mean our accounts are deleted, everybody, but you deleted the apps with me Wednesday of last week, about 9 days ago, if that's correct. What did you find? What's going on? Talk to me.
All right, so I went in on this challenge on Wednesday when I saw it on your Facebook, and I think what inspired me to not just think it was a cool idea and get in on the game was that I saw some kind of feisty comments back at you because you work in social media and yet you're going to get off of it and all this stuff. And I almost get into a little internet beef in that moment, and then decided, because I definitely have gone that route before, decided I'm not going to do that. So I literally cut my comment off of that one, paste it into a fresh one, change up the words a little bit, and decide to change the perspective on it and the lens and just say, hey, Josh, I think this is really cool. I'm going to do it too. So I deleted Instagram. I deleted the Facebook app. And I just got on with my life and work and fitness and relationships and trying to do my best every single day. And I was doing it 100% as an experiment. I think that that is what you keyed in on. And that's what really resonated with me, was that there was no preconceived notions. It wasn't trying to prove a point that we're all scroll bots and we're all mean and we're all unjustly judgmental and all of these things. It was like, yo, this is an experiment. Let's see what happens. Let's see what we do through contrary action because of this free time that we're giving ourselves. And I'm a bit of a reader. I'm a bit of a meditator. I like to go to the gym. I like to do positive things with my time. And in the week without Instagram and Facebook on my phone, I noticed less of a challenge to get to those spaces and get in those modes. Mm-hmm. I read a lot. I was much more positive at work. That was the biggest takeaway, was because I am in an office space where I'm there from about 8:30 to 7. That's my average, and some people have it worse than me at UTA, no doubt. When I want to get a little break from the action, I bring out my phone, and Instagram is, you know, my drug of choice. That's where I start to scroll. Mm-hmm. And when you're in an environment where you know that what you're going to see is awesome meals, people at cool locations, people on vacation, people who don't have a job, like, you take what you see and you kind of shift and turn it and twist it into, it's not fair. That's not cool that they get to do that and I get to do this, and but I still double tap it and keep moving and I'm on with my day. And I can't say enough at how much I enjoyed not having to fight off those harbored resentments and just unfair challenges that I would give myself throughout the workday, just trying to be present and do my job best I can.
That's awesome. Okay, so talk to us. What did you do that may have been, what did you do with your free time?
I was in my books. I was in my podcasts. I got more sleep, right? Like, even if it's just 15 minutes or 5 minutes or 30 minutes, some people do morning scrolling, night scrolling, all that stuff. And I didn't do any of that. You know, I still had Twitter and a couple other apps on my phone, but they didn't really seem to take the place of the Instagram experience.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like I was more present throughout my week. Like mm-hmm. I said, I was just going into it as an experiment to see what would happen. And I felt that I enjoyed the company around me more. And I didn't have to fight off being bitter that I was working and someone was doing this. I was just doing my thing, and my thing was enough.
That's awesome. That's so cool. So you were in podcasts, books. Now you and I both have something in common. We're still off social. Talk to me. Why didn't you kind of took the challenge and said, on Wednesday morning, I'm deleting this. I'll jump back on Wednesday. And I want to talk about how you felt, but first, I didn't download them. I was too busy getting other stuff done, really cool stuff. I was actually okay. I was okay with the new people I was meeting. I didn't download them. Why didn't you download them?
I wasn't ready. I didn't learn enough about myself in just a week from not having it to get the full effect that I was looking for, because I – at this point, do not see myself going off of Instagram forever. We haven't really mentioned Facebook in this conversation thus far. I'm not a big Facebook guy myself, and I was able to get it on a computer screen when I wanted it. So this is specific to the engagement we have, pulling the phone out of our pocket and doing a quick scroll when we're in conversation or in relationship with other people. And I wanted to know more about myself, because a week didn't give it to me. I got through that week really easily. And then towards the end of the week, I started having those feelings that I thought I would get earlier on of like, ooh, I might be missing out. Oh, I hear keep hearing references to my friends doing this, a girl looking this way, this guy at this party, like all this stuff from my friends. And I started to feel a little bit out of the loop, and that's what I was going for, because if I don't get to that level of discomfort and step out of my comfort zone, then there's no room to learn and no room to grow. So I just said, let's tack another week onto it. Then we'll reevaluate next Wednesday and see what's up.
I love it. That's awesome. That's really cool. So you got a little bit more done. You're a little bit happier at work. You're more positive at work, you said, I guess. That's a great one. Talk to me about comparison and how did that go into this?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Instagram is the pinnacle example of where we go to work on our brand. And through our brand, which is essentially this new fancy digital way of saying who we are as people and what other people think of us, on Instagram, we have this ability to try and create a perfect image or the ideal personification of what we have going on. And that can be through a filter three times over, a VSCO cam edit, do something to your skin, change the frame, bring it back to Instagram, bring the contrast up, and put out an image that is, in our minds, the best we have to offer. Mm-hmm. And it's our picture perfect moment with the most appropriate caption and the slickest hashtag mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And that's not inherently bad, but what it does to me in my own experience is allow me to try and compare myself with people who I know or don't know that have taken sometimes a very serious amount of time and a very serious effort to put out an image of themselves that's not really who they are. It's not really who they are in the moment or naturally or when they wake up or when they're going through the same kind of days that I am. And so we compare ourselves. I'm guilty of being a little extra hard on myself and giving myself a really tough time. And then you go through that and you see people who just look amazing and look so happy and everything is perfect. And then boom, it's like, why don't I look like that? Why don't I feel like that? Why am I not doing that? I didn't even hear about that going on. And it's a vicious cycle. And that's where I fall.
Now, you said before we got on this recording, you said that Instagram controls us and then it helps us to harbor resentment. And that it is a direct journey into comparison. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I said that, that's what I meant. And what I mean is that I do not believe personally, at least I don't go through Instagram looking to celebrate my friends and celebrate the people that I've chosen to follow. I go for selfish reasons. You know, you don't like someone's picture. At least I don't. I hate to like use generalizations in social media because whether or not people are being honest with themselves or even aware of what they're doing, I think it's not great to speak from anything other than your personal experience, especially when it comes to this stuff. But I don't go on there to see my friends on vacation in Greece and genuinely give them love for that. Or it's not that I'm on there to try to think the best way to phrase this. It's not that I'm on there to not be excited for them. But when I'm scrolling, when I get on Instagram, it's all about me. It's all about what am I doing compared to that? What would my vacation look if I was there? What about the clothes they're wearing compares to the clothes in my closet? Do I need to get that? Will I be better if I have that? Is that life better than what I have? Because as humans, I don't think that we're naturally inclined to go on there and just be like, oh, that was a great 10 minutes of, you know, clapping my hands and jumping up and down for what all the people are doing. You know, it's an app that is based on likes and follows. But it's really about followers and how many likes you have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And I feel what you're saying when it comes to comparison. I'm taking a stand this fall as I travel and speak to students. I'm going to talk about social media is supposed to be about connecting and communicating, but now all of a sudden it's all about comparing, which you said so well, is comparing is the thief of joy. Right. And that's what it really is. I love what you're saying. I love how vulnerable you are, because when I did this, people called me and said, is everything okay? Why are you deleting stuff? And I'm just taking a break. It's a vacation. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of stuff done, as did you. And it's kind of cool. You end up being a better human for a little while. So this whole connecting and communicating thing is great, but the comparison, it's hard. How are guys like you and I going to avoid that comparison, the scrolling? Because the scrolling never ends. It's an unlimited scrolling, and it really is. It's not just a time suck. I think the time I would give, if it was a massage, I'm happy to give time to somebody or spend time on something. But a massage would get you thinking and doing stuff. But I feel like this just robs us of our soul. Not to get too deep on this, but it robs us of what we're great at. We are all, as humans, good at something. We're talented at something. There's something awesome about us, whether it's our smile or our hair or our shoulders. There's something great about us physically, personality-wise, and just awesome. And I feel like the scrolling makes us forget all of that and looks at other people and goes, why am I not in Greece? Or, man, that person looks skinny with that filter, that Facetune 14, version 14. Right? I'm kidding, but you get the idea.
I hear you.
How do we do that? What's going to be your trick to keeping yourself from, and I want to learn from you, because I know that comparison is the downfall for me, all of my friends, and I want to figure it out. What's your trick?
I think it comes down to intentionality. And what I hope to do in this process is to take back control of how I engage with these apps and how I use them and when I use them, and that I don't need to accept the status quo here, that we're allowed to use these at the table with our friends. We're allowed to use these at every single stoplight. We're allowed to take a little break at work to check stuff out. I see people at work during meetings on Instagram. I see my friends in the middle of sometimes some really great conversations, or while we're all watching, sharing an experience, watching a TV show or movie, which is already one screen, looking at their phone, and I do it too. And what I want to do is figure out what my life looks like in order to not let that be my standard. Because I think that Instagram inherently is not bad, and it's not bad to work on a brand and to be connected and to have influence. But if the app is having more influence on you than you're having influence on others, it could be better. It could be a better experience, because I like the challenge of Instagram at times, of trying to put out a positive message. And like what I heard you speak at an event we were at, and when you talked about using Instagram as this tool and using it appropriately, and, you know, tagging the location so that they get some benefit from it, and the organization, and sending, you know, putting a positive highlight of what happened during that day for you. This is all good stuff, and it has mutual benefit for everyone involved. And so I want to get back to a place where I'm in control. And when I go on to do some scrolling, it's because I want to be excited for the people that I've chosen to follow, for my friends who I love. I'm huge on relationships, and I want to stay connected with my friends all over the world, because I would make that effort with Instagram or not. And Instagram makes it easier. So thanks, Instagram, for making it easier to connect with my friends and stay posted on what everybody is doing. And thanks, Instagram, for the challenge of trying to figure out how I can operate in the digital world and have control and know what I'm getting into, and know when are good times for me to use these apps, when are times for me not. And the only way to figure that out is to step away for a second and really try and get a picture and a grip on what's going on.
I love it. I love it. When I was off, well, I'm still off social, but I would hang out with people and I'd say to them as a joke, I go, look, isn't it crazy that we're having this awesome experience and you are the only person right now in my life that's going to know about this. I'm not going to Instagram this. I'm not going to do this. And it's kind of a joke, but it actually made me really present right then and there. And no phone in a way. You said something really cool, Pete, and I said this on Facebook yesterday. I announced a video of what I learned, what I'm going to do going forward, what apps I'll download eventually. You said people that you've chosen to follow. I've heard from a lot of students and a lot of addiction specialists saying that when students unfollow a ton of people, they feel relief. They might still have the app, but they're only looking at people they truly love, that know in life, know in real life. They're not an acquaintance person that's a celebrity. They just unfollow anyone that's not productive and positive in their life. I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to unfollow a lot of people, which sounds super rude and dramatic at first, but when I did delete the apps, I felt a lot less anxiety. It was almost like a lot of freedom off my shoulders. How did that feel that first day when you deleted the apps?
Well, I think that the anxiety comes from the phone in our pocket and the screen there. Like when you, I think that this third arm, this extension of ourselves that is a smartphone on, I'm not an expert on the stats, but I bet it's an alarming number. Like, the studies are out there. The brain research has been done. We have this information at the ready that we're addicted to these phones in a scientific way with studies to prove it. We're addicted to them. So a symptom of addiction is anxiety. When am I going to get my fix? So before you even use your phone to clock in and get on the Instagram feed, that anxiety comes from that dopamine that we want from looking at our phone. Oh, did we get a little attention? Do I have a notification? What happens? Like when we look at our phone and that screen lights up, our brain gets a little boost. And that's where that anxiety comes from. And
I had a crazy idea when you were talking earlier. I'm just going to throw this out there. Instagram is way over filtered. And then there's the real, we've seen these memes where the boyfriend helping the girlfriend take the photo, right? And framing it and stuff. The boyfriend's behind.
Dude, we live in LA, man. We see that in real life.
We see that in real life. The boyfriend's holding
it yesterday.
She's doing this, like, follow me, right? And he's like, oh gosh, do I seriously have to do this? Here, give me your phone back. But I just was thinking about, how do we use Instagram to tell the real story? One is the filtered photo and one is the unfiltered. You scroll, swipe to see the unfiltered or something. I think either the blooper or something that the my best self, the fake one, and then the real one. I'm going to put together a campaign for that, I think. Hey, students, be yourself online, but do some kind of an unfiltered and a filtered. Be yourself. That's the first one we see. But then show us the real you and your friends behind it. Maybe things didn't go right, the unphotoshopped and so on. I want to talk to you about one more thing. And really that's, what would you tell someone if they wanted to take this challenge? What would you, I've gotten this question a lot. It's like, I'm thinking about it. I'm a teacher and I want to go back to school. And I said, great. For me, it was for both you and I, it was a Wednesday start date. We planned on stopping on a Wednesday so that we could announce to people, but I guess you could announce any day. One of my tricks was announcing, I'm taking a low-tech vacation, which is everybody applauded that. What would you tell people that are going to take a week off?
I would say do it if you want to. If you feel that this could be an interesting experience for you and there might be something to learn, or if you more so feel that the Instagram comparison effect is having a negative impact on your life, then really just think about it. And if you are willing to do it and you're interested in do it, take the leap. Maybe just go for a couple of days, see what happens. Like, you don't have to make some commitment to yourself that is overwhelming to you or makes it something that you don't dabble with. Start small. Start with a couple of days. Just feel it out. The world will keep going without you, whether or not you're on Instagram or not. I was talking to a friend a couple nights back and telling her that I was in the midst of this challenge and she was going to be moving the next day. And I challenged her, or at least suggested it, why not delete this app right now and move into your new awesome place on Sawtelle without Instagram on your phone? And just once you move in, if you want to get it back, do it. But you'll have a memory of the day you moved to your new place on Sawtelle without Instagram. And all that could possibly mean is that there's no story of you taking boxes out of a car or building a bed frame or wasted time staring at your phone, but that you were there and more present for your move than you would have been. And I think I might get to speak with that girl today and I'll hear what she said, but I just think it's about that being honest with yourself and truly willing to do it. Like, now we're kind of talking like treatment 12-step recovery style words, but that's what this is. Violently now, addicted to social media comparison, our phones.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to listen to me and Josh ramble about it, this is science and Google is there, so get into it. Wall Street Journal, New York Times, I read this stuff. I'm a nerd like that.
So, and I love that. But I also want to say, and you, this is, I'm sure the case with you, I took just as many pictures. I texted just as many people. All I did.
That is, wait. That's awesome. I love that you say that before my phone falls over. The night after I started, last Thursday night, I went to one of the really cool radio events at the Hammer Museum where they open up the Hammer for extended hours. Mm-hmm. Who was the DJ that was there? It wasn't Cut Copy. It was something Chemist. Not a big EDM guy, but he's like one of the OGs of the EDM world. Uses all original sounds and stuff. And I was running around with some of my friends from high school that I hadn't seen in a long time. Awesome reunion. Awesome event. All this really cool stuff. And I remember this feeling in hindsight. It was relieving to take pictures, amazing quality photo and video with my iPhone X. And no, these are for me. It's just for me. It's not for the gram. It's not for Facebook. It's not for anything. And I since have actually gone back and looked at them.
Yeah.
And when you take pictures for social media, I feel like you look at the one that you edited and gets the weird little boxy frame that Instagram does, that one only. But I've gone back and looked at these photos and videos a couple of times, and it's brought me joy.
That's awesome. I took just as many photos, just as many videos, and I texted them to people. Because remember, my goal about social is that we're connected and we're communicating. I think we live in a modern world. We need to use these blessings that we have, connecting and communicating. When I meet somebody new, I'll have to go, are you online? What's your phone number? What's your email? I'll capture their data so that I can talk with them in the future. I think that is a good thing. But as soon as we're scrolling through there and seeing them at another place or comparing them or whatever, how great their life is, that one snapshot, bad for me on a personal level, just not great. I think I'm normal. I'm just like you, willing to say it. But when I took all these photos like you with the iPhone, and then I texted them to people saying, hope you're great. I just tripped and fell and did this. It was hilarious. It was a one-on-one connection with that person. I got the same feeling, but it was only the positive, the upside of it, instead of the downside of posting it and waiting for someone to comment and listen.
Absolutely. And that's so cool because we've stopped doing that. We've stopped using the other apps we have. Other apps are taking an L while Instagram is running the world, and sending a picture to a family member, to a friend, to a coworker, that's something really cool. And you might not have the inspiration or incentive to do so if you're already getting your connectivity fixed through Instagram with a bunch of people who don't care, but you're looking at their stuff. And I don't mean they don't care about the user. I mean, they don't care that you've seen or liked their picture. They mostly care, I think it's fair to say, about the total number.
Yeah,
how quickly they got him. That's how I feel, at least.
True. Human nature.
And if you don't hit what you got before, it's this weird, like, feeling.
So I was at Vintage, and I was talking to a friend named Abby who works there, and she said something really, really interesting. And I told her about this, and in her delightful British accent, she said, which everybody at Vintage seems to have, a mutual place that I go to. She said, Josh, I delete the app. I download the app to check it for 5 minutes, and then I delete it off my iPhone. And I went, what? She said, I delete the app because I know if it's there, I will, whatever. So I said, wait, so you go on Wi-Fi just to download the app? Because it's like 100 megabytes or whatever it is. She goes, yeah, I'm on Wi-Fi. I download it. I go in and I check it. And then I go, okay, I've gotten my fix. She physically deletes the app from her iPhone, and she goes on through her day because she knows she can't then check it when she's out and about. And she goes, well, maybe I don't download it every day, every other day, perhaps, maybe every day. And I thought that was super old school and super wise about how much we want to check these things. She said, yeah, I just literally delete it and then I'll re-download it. And I thought that is so old school and a great example for people to know how much we want to check these. And you can't check it if it's not on there and you're out and about and you have a data plan. You don't want to download that 100 megabytes every day, right?
If that works for her, then it works for her. That's what it comes down to. This isn't going to be there isn't an actionable step that will work for every single person across the board. We're all different. We all live different lives, and we all have different relationships with technology, our phone, and the digital world. We all have different feelings of what comparison does to us physically and spiritually. But that's a great example of someone figuring out what works for them and doing it and just taking the action, doing the work that is required to not be affected negatively by their cell phone that's with them all the time.
Yeah. So I thought that was neat. If we all have to find out, how are we going to live the best way that we can, not online, but in real life, so that that comes out online in a positive way.
I like that you operate in this kind of world of kind of challenges to the people who look to you for advice, wisdom, guidance in the space. And it's just it's thrown out there for anybody who wants it. But I think that challenging ourselves in these like microcosmic ways is a really interesting way to see what happens. And I think a really interesting challenge that's on my heart in the week and a half, whatever, since I've done this, is to challenge. I would love to challenge my friends and people in my life to do something that allows them to be present with other people more in the form of not bringing out your phone. Like, I wouldn't say to someone, hey, try to have an entire day where you don't bring out your phone when you're with someone, but maybe something more that takes more action. Like, try and have 3 conversations today with eye contact where your phone stays in your pocket and just see, like, oh, I do that all the time anyway, so that would be easy. That wouldn't even be like anything different. I mean, that's my life. I talk to people, my phone's in my pocket. Be like, all right, cool. So this will be super easy for you. And you can get your number up to 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 in no time, right?
Yep.
But maybe something really special happens when you set an intention for your day to have 3 conversations with eye contact, with enthusiasm, with a genuine interest in what the person, like you said, in front of you right here is doing that isn't for anyone else but the people in the room. And that would be a really fun challenge.
Someday we're going to notice in 20 years that people that do that, that have these one-on-one conversations at when they leave the room, people are going to say, wow, that person was magical. I don't know what it is about them. And it'll just be that they weren't looking at their phone. They were interested in the person right in front of them 100%. And that will seem charming to people someday.
Yeah, absolutely. The world is giving people a really easy chance to separate themselves from the pack and to be a light and to have a positive influence and impact on those around us. And oh my gosh, the irony, because isn't that what these apps and our phones all about, influencing and impacting others? But to use your phone less, I think in modern society, you have a better chance of making a positive impact on those around you. And if you want to help other people achieve that, lead by example, take a little break, have a couple conversations with people where your phone is in your pocket. I leave my phone on my desk during my lunch break. That's a little thing that I do because I'm screened up all day long. Emails, phones, that's my job. That's what I do. So during my lunch break, I like to go on a little walk. I like to talk to people I work with, and I don't need to see my emails. I don't need to see anything but the people around me during that 1 hour. And that's something that helps me humanize a little bit during the day.
I love it. So one last thing, one thing that I found that I really could have used social media for, or at least Facebook, a friend of the family, one of my best friends from high school, his uncle passed away, and the funeral details were, he passed away and then they waited 2 weeks to get everybody together nationwide to come to Los Angeles. And the funeral details were on Facebook, but my mom texted them to me, which was super easy. However, when I made the announcement at the funeral, Houston, at the funeral, the sister of the gentleman who passed away, the gentleman who passed away is an outstanding, amazing person, just super uplifting. But the person at the funeral, I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, what's it like to be off social media? That was the first thing they said. But not only that, the sister of the man who passed away at this wonderful service of celebrating his life, she came up, and I've known her for my whole life almost. She came up, and rather than saying, thank you for coming, she went, what's it like to be off Facebook? I love that you're doing this. I'm going to do it too. And that's the one thing she wanted to talk about at the funeral of her brother. And I thought, this is amazing. This is how important this is that this sweet woman and her amazing brother's celebration of life is asking me what's it like, because this thing is overtaking all of our lives. I thought that it's crazy. And that showed me how much I felt comfortable at the funeral, not even checking it. And then also people were coming up to me. So anyone that's challenged, that's saying, I don't know if I'm going to be off this, just make an announcement. Less about you. I'm taking a low tech vacation. Take it from us or not, whatever, find your thing. But I said, I'm taking a low-tech vacation. I'm going to delete the apps. I'm going to do an experiment. I'm going to come back better than ever. Try that. People will not contact you. I was gone for 9 days. I checked Facebook and Instagram yesterday and then deleted them. And I had two messages on each one, and they were not important. People knew not to contact me there. Everybody's been texting or emailing. Houston, I'm going to give you last words.
Man, I'm just inspired by this conversation. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. And I've listened to a few episodes. I've heard you talk in person. And I think it's really important what you're doing and the approach that you have on this whole situation and trying to help both young people who are in this world. It's not going anywhere. Social media is a thing, but it can be used for good it doesn't have to be bad. People who are older and living their lives and want to have social media and stuff too, they're allowed to and they should. And I think that people like you who are trying to navigate this space and make a difference and give people an opportunity to figure out how to make this stuff work for them are vitally important, because we are acknowledging that there's a problem in our society with our phones and with social media, and it comes back down to comparison and being really, really tough on ourselves. And this idea that we know that the scrolling and the liking and the filters and all of this stuff is not good. It is not helping us. It's not advancing us as people, allowing us to grow in a way that we otherwise might, and yet we still do it, is by definition insane. And so it's a real problem. It's a real thing. I don't think it needs to be dramatic for anyone's life or anyone's day to day, but I definitely do want to say to anyone who sees this, listens to this, challenge yourself a little bit, do something, take a day off, try to have a conversation with someone, figure out a time in your life where you could start leaving your phone behind, stuff like that. Just have fun with it. Should be fun. It should be lighthearted. And I think that, like anything of this nature, people will end up being positively affected and inspired by you, and you will have a greater impact than just on yourself, but on other people as well.
I love it. I love it. For all of you that are watching or listening to us on the podcast, wherever you're at, remember that social media isn't something that we teach people to be on all the time, but rather to have a healthy online relationship with it. And part of that is, just like going to the gym, it should be different. It should challenge you. It should make you feel better. And that's why we want you to be safe and smart online, mostly smart, and start with a foundation of safety. You can learn more at smartsocial.com, where we have free resources for the whole world. About 1 million people a year visit the website, and a lot of people listen to our podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star rating. If you know somebody that has a kid between the ages of 8 to 18, send them to smartsocial.com to take our free webinars that teach you all the digital good and bad safety apps and everything. And as always, remember that if you're going to create a positive online image or an image at all, remember to keep it light, bright, and polite so that you can set a good example for those around you. Houston, you are awesome. I'm so proud of you. I'm so honored that you're on here. Thank you to you for doing this today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, man. Have a great Saturday. It's beautiful outside.
That's awesome. Thank you to all of you listening. We'll see you on the next episode. You can learn more at smartsocial.com. Have a great day, everybody.